We are joined on the line by Maulana Ashraf Dokrat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program this morning. The book that we are discussing, Maulana, Captive of Malta.
Yes.
Now, Maulana, firstly, if you could just tell us a bit more about the Captive of Malta and who is referred to in the title.
Yes, Maulana. So the Captive of Malta refers to Sheikh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud Hassan Diobandi Saab. And Maulana Mahmud Hassan Diobandi was born in 1851. He died in 1920. And this book looks at his period of captivity. In 1915, he traveled to Hijaz to get support for his movement. They were supportive of the Khilafah movement, also what was called the Silk Letter movement. And he travels to Hijaz together with some of his students, and he's arrested there in 1916 together with his first student, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, and Uzair Gul Peshawri. They are arrested because of the deceit of Sharif Hussein, and eventually they are sent then to Malta via Egypt. They are sent to Malta, and they spent that period from 1916 right up to their release in 1920 there. So this book essentially is about that period of captivity. The Captive of Malta refers then to Maulana Mahmud Hassan Diobandi, and the book is written by his student who spent time with him there, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani. Both the teacher and the student were great freedom fighters for the cause of India, and were instrumental in allowing the Indian people to see freedom from the British Raj.
Now, Maulana, does the book only cover, you know, that period of history that Sheikh al-Hind is in Malta, or it does discuss anything before or after that as well?
No, Maulana. So what it does is, briefly, there is a time when he is in, he leaves from India, he goes to Hijaz. So it covers the entire area, the entire period while he's in Hijaz, his meetings there with important people, whether he met with officials, when he met with the Turkish officials, etc. His time in Makkah, his time in Medina, some of the suspicions around him, his meeting with Anwar Pasha and Jamal Pasha, the important dignitaries from the Turkish part, and his meeting with the Sheikh al-Haram at the time. And then the difficulties that he experiences in Makkah al-Mukarrama. There's a mutiny in Hijaz. He goes to Taif, he returns from Taif. There is a lot of intrigue and suspicion at the time. And then he's eventually his arrest and his departure from Jeddah then to Suez, to via the Suez Canal. And he then stays as a political prisoner in Giza prison in Egypt, and his times, the conditions of the prison are mentioned, and then eventually the period where they reach they are sent by ship to Malta, and what happens in Malta, Maulana.
Now, Maulana, is there a detailed account of the living conditions in Malta?
Yes, Maulana, there's quite some details that we have about the various stores, the camps, the offices, what they were like, the rations that they were given, even the postal system, how there was time given for recreation, what was the type of recreation that was allowed, how they received news, and the various camps that they were. There wasn't only one camp, there were various camps. There was a rocket camp, an Arab camp, different camps that they were there, the type of prisoners that were held in each of the camps. To the details about the arrangements that were made for the washing of their clothes and the type of problems that they had with the halal meat, And so there's a detailed account, and it really keeps one's attention throughout. You know, when reading the book, you don't feel like putting the book down. It's quite captivating, and one is amazed at the type of detail that Maulana Hussein Ahmad Bandi was able to capture and remember, because he's writing this now later on, and he was able to remember all of this. There are even details, there are some sketches and drawings about what the accommodation looked like, and you know, the various sections of the house, or what it was like when they were moved to what was called Arab camp, and so this keeps one's attention. And it is quite a gripping story all in all, Malam.
Mad, this is a translation of the book. Does it read easily?
Yes, Malam, it reads very easily. I think at times the sentences are a bit short, but all in all, I think it reads easily. One can understand what is said. And the author, the translators have at times tried to include some notes. Although I think that there is a section of the book where one would like to have had some more background regarding the political situation and what was actually going on. If a person does not know some of it, you feel that there's some gaps in your knowledge regarding the political situation and what was actually happening at the time. So, you know, if there could have been more extensive notes regarding that, it would have been welcome. But all in all, the translation reads well, Maulana. There's also another section right at the end. Once the book completes, there is a detailed discussion regarding, also written by Maulana Hussein Ahmad Bandi, regarding the some of the Turkish people who impressed him. There's a Colonel Ashraf Beg that he speaks about, and he discusses him and some of the conditions in Turkey in some detail. So that is a section that is added at the end, which is also translated here. So all in all, Maulana, I think it's quite a good read, and it really keeps your attention, and it's quite you know, gripping right through, Maulana.
Now, Ma, the book is about, I think, about 270 pages long. Is it you know, what's the layout of the book, Ma? Is there different chapters, and what's the way that the author has compiled the book?
Yes, so it's chronologically done then, with a description of Maulana in the beginning, his student explaining who Maulana was, and then explaining the initial circumstances that led to Maulana taking the journey to Makkatul Mukarrama and the Hijaz, and then chronologically looking at what happened, the circumstances that led to the arrest, the move to Egypt, and from there then the years that were spent in Malta itself. So in that way, the circumstances are presented in a chronological way, and explaining sometimes also the volatile situation of the world. That was, you know, Maulana was very concerned with what was happening with the destruction, so to say, you know, where many forces had come together to cause the downfall and the destruction of the Ottoman Empire. And this was a concern in Sheikhul Hind's mind, and he was very concerned and looked at ways in which this could be arrested and circumstances could be improved. So he had this great concern for the Ummah and the condition of the Ummah, the political condition of the Ummah. And this is reflected throughout the book. His student, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Bandi, makes this point over and over again about the deep concern that his ustad, Maulana Mahmud Hassan, had for the condition of the Ummah. And I think it's something that we should also reflect on, that how are we concerned about the Ummah wherever they are, and about the establishment or the Khilafat and these type of issues. Do they really concern us, and do they really worry us as they should? I mean, this was something that was of concern to ulama of the past. And these are ulama who we claim to be in our legacy, and we are proud of their contributions towards the freedom movement in India. But we need to take lesson also from their lives, Mawlana.
And then, Mawlana, finally, the book, where is it available, the price of the book?
Well, Mawlana, like you said, Mawlana, a hardcover book, almost 270 pages, and beautifully bound, is available for 30 rands. Now, you can't imagine how it's produced even at that price and how they make it available. But there you are, Mawlana. You can buy this book for only 30 rands from Darulum, the Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya, the Darulum Azadwal bookshop, and they can be contacted at 413-2786. And they have a number of other good books for sale. But this book, Captive of Malta, not to be confused with other books that have been written with similar titles, Captives of Malta, or The Prisoners of Malta, whatever. This is called Captive of Malta, and it is a travel log of Sheikh al-Hind Hazrat Maulana Mahmud Hassan Diobandi Saab, compiled by his student Sheikh al-Islam Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, and published jointly by Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya, Zadwell and Zamzam Publishers. So this book you can get for only 30 rands, Maulana, which is really a steal.
And I think, like you rightly mentioned, Mawlana, that once you start reading it, it's very difficult to put the book
You are enjoying it, Mawlana.
Yeah, I am enjoying it, Mawlana. I just started with it this weekend, and inshallah, I hope to finish it off as soon as possible. But there's so many lessons, so many important points that we can pick up on as well, and really a fascinating read.
True, Mawlana. And I trust that our listeners will also enjoy it. Mawlana, I was really very, very impressed. This over the last few weeks, I met a elderly lady. She's 90 years old, and her name is Mrs. Hawa Bulla. And Mrs. Bulla listens to our radio program regularly, and she buys the books and she reads the books. At that age, Mawlana, the family says that they can't keep up with her. She reads faster than anybody in the house, and she is sharp as anything, Mawlana. You can engage her in any discussion. She's lucid, she speaks well, and you can see a well-read person. And alhamdulillah, this shows the benefit of reading. If you read, Allah Ta'ala will keep your mind sharp right till your old age. And I was very, very happy to meet her. There were one or two titles that she's still looking for, Mawlana. You can't believe it. She said, Mawlana, can you get me this book? And this book that you reviewed on this day, can you please get it for me? Mm. And I said, sure, I will get it for you, knowing that you are reading, and at that age you are so enthusiastic about it. This is really something that makes the heart very, very happy. And at least there's somebody listening to the radio program and following up. This is the great thing. She follows up. She reads the books, Mawlana. And they say at home that nobody can keep up with her. She reads so fast, and she's so enthusiastic about her reading. So it just shows, Mawlana, if you read, Allah Ta'ala will keep your mind and bless you with good memory right till the end of your life, Mawlana.
And Mawlana, jazakumullah to you for reviewing the number of books. I think it's quite a number of books that you've reviewed on Radio Islam International.
And no, Mawlana, it's a pleasure.
It serves as an encouragement to one and all, to pick up the books, to start reading. And we should develop this art and this habit of reading, inshallah.
Inshallah. So we pray for Mr. Bulla also, inshallah. We ask our listeners to all make dua for her, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps her well and keeps her with us for a long time still, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana. Inshallah, we'll speak to you next week.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.